like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living
give
without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air
and
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all the air.
It is KSRO, 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. Welcome back into the KSRO greenhouse as we resume normal greenhouse operations as best as we can, hoping to help you in your search for appropriate landscaping replacements and how to approach a soil damaged by fire and or smoke and or soot or a combination of all of those as we tentatively move forward. And trying to provide you the best information and accurate information as we can without overreacting. That's kind of the key. Everybody wants to shout out what they think you should be doing, but we prefer to get some well-vetted information before we make those pronouncements. And we have a couple guests which we'll tell you about coming in to next Saturday's show, which will be able to answer, I think, a lot more of those questions about food safety concerns and the possible plant issues you may be dealing with or thinking about in the coming weeks and months. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound okay? 636-1350. We can go right back to calls. And if we hear from Ellen, we'll address white fly control. If we don't, we'll address white fly control on our own. Nita from Santa Rosa, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Nita. Welcome to the show.
Oh, greetings. Good morning. It's too early, I know, and I wanted to start planning for getting some new roses.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask Gwen about, favorites.
Well, let me see. I've been pulling out roses slowly but surely because they have been getting hit with this downy mildew disease. And there are no roses that are resistant to that. It's a virus that gets into the plant, and it's usually in the plant when you buy it from the retailers because it's already in the plant when they bought it from the wholesalers. It's just one of the nasty diseases that roses have been getting for many, many years now.
Oh, I was over at Harmony, and he was saying that, you know, they didn't get to keep many roses out for sale because they didn't like the way they were.
Well, it could be for a number of reasons. Maybe, yeah. You know, there are some roses that are susceptible to black spot and rust and powdery mildew. So, you know, nurseries like to keep their products looking, they want to sell the best of the best out there.
That's right.
So if there's anything that looks a little questionable, of course they'll take it off the floor and put it in the back, and you know, maybe they need to give it a little more fertilizer or water or pruning or something, and you know, help it get back into shape. But if it has a downy mildew disease, then it just dies it dies a slow death.
Yep.
And so the only roses I know that haven't gotten hit with that are these flower carpet roses. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for cutting flowers like the hybrid teas or?
Yeah, I want a cutting flower, an aromatic rose. Good for cutting. What else? Yeah. Long stem, if I could get all three.
Yeah. So with that, the hybrid tea roses, especially the fragrant roses, are the most disease prone, and they will get every disease under the sun. I don't care. I mean, you look at the description that comes with the rose, you know, you have the nice pretty picture on there and it says very fragrant, spicy fragrance, vigorous grower, blah, 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 blah. They will never tell you disease resistant, or maybe they do, but I have not never seen anything. They're not going to put anything negative on their little signs.
Of course not, yeah.
So, but we know from hundreds of years of experience here with roses, these hybrid tea fragrant roses will get all these diseases, especially rust and black spot. It's not advisable at all to be spraying because all the sprays that we use are very toxic to our bees and beneficial insects and whatnot. And we're trying to stop using all these sprays. So if you want to grow these roses, you can go ahead and buy them. Plant them where they'll be in full sun all day. You have lots of organic matter mixed in the soil. You're going to give them enough water, and you're going to keep them as healthy as possible. You're not going to be using any systemic insecticide, fertilizer, concoctions, because that's really bad for the roses. You're going to be putting out mulch, lots of organic matter on top of the soil. So that breaks down and adds goodies to the soil. So you're going to do everything you can to keep these roses as healthy as possible. Don't plant them too close together so they have a lot of air circulation, and you prune them correctly so that, you know, you do whatever you can to keep them as healthy as possible. If they get any of these diseases, you know, you could try picking the leaves off. You could try spraying with a horticultural oil with water and baking soda and dish detergent. There's a recipe for that. So you can go ahead and try, you know, grow those roses and see what happens. Some of the good ones out there, of course, the more fragrant they are really prone to these diseases. Double Delight. I mean, that's a fantastic red and white rose. That's beautiful. First Kiss. It has a slight fragrance, but it's not very, very fragrant, but it's like an off-whitish, peachy kind of color, I think. That's amazing.
May I add one?
Sure.
Yves Piaget?
Yeah, that is not a hybrid tea, though.
Oh, okay.
That's
But it's that it's disease-resistant and fragrant.
Not disease-resistant in my garden.
No, not in yours. Okay. And Dana's garden, maybe it is.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe in my co-writer's column.
Yeah. It's a deep pink.
Yeah, I have
tea.
That. Those, it's the David Austin rose. The David Austins have a lot of fragrance, but there are a lot of petals in them, but they don't make the best cut flowers because they kind of fall over.
It's not too thorny, and it's fairly disease-resistant compared to a lot of others. So that's one, Yves Piaget, Yves Piaget.
Yeah, okay. But with that, there's lots of other the David Austin roses.
Yeah.
But let me think. Fragrant Cloud, that's another one. Color Magic.
Is there one Golden Winey Rose?
I don't know. You know, no? And there are so many roses.
Soot and mold resistant. It's a hybrid tea.
There are so many roses out there now that keep coming out every year. To me, they all look, okay, you have another rose that's coming out. It looks like all the other roses, red roses that are out there. These, you know, wholesalers have to keep coming out with a new rose for 2018 and 2017. And I would probably...
But she's wedded to that. But if people are listening in general and want to plant roses, then the shrub roses are the most disease-free variety.
It depends.
Overall. Okay. Overall, if you had to pick one category.
I like the flower carpet series.
Okay, that's your number
even
one.
Even though those are, you know, they were developed by, I don't know, somebody or something, and then they're sold all over the place. They came in those pink pots years ago. But I have a whole bunch of those things, and those are amazing. But you know what? Another series, the Knockout series. But we keep going off track
that's
here.
That's all right. We got it because a lot of people are going, well, fine. I want to hear more of these type of ideas. So
yeah,
the
but
Knockout
Nita wanted to hear about her hyper tea fragrant roses. Oh,
okay, but you've already said that that's going to be a very limited success rate.
Yeah.
The Floribunda is grand.
Are the Knockout or the flower carpet, the bushy ones? Are if I put them in a big old container by the back door, will they be fragrant onto the deck?
No, they're not fragrant roses. No,
at all. Okay. All
no.
Right.
But you're right. The Knockout series, they're among the best. The most disease resistant landscape shrub roses ever developed. You're right. The Knockout roses.
Because I have them. I mean, I've had over 500 roses.
Which
in
ones
my yard.
Do you have? The fire engine one, the red flowered one, knockout red Raz, or do you know which kind of that?
I have like the red,
pink knockout, pink. Blushing knockout, double knockout.
Something.
They're all good.
Yeah, but if you want fragrance.
And you don't have to deadhead them either, do you? I don't think you do.
No, I don't. No. If you want to steer away from the hybrid teas or even go with a couple of them, that's fine. Double Delight, I would certainly grow that one because you can walk by it and you will smell the fragrance. If you could steer away then from all hybrid teas and go with the David Austin roses, you will get big plants with that Yves Piaget that Steve mentioned is one of them. There are so many of them that have phenomenal fragrances to them. And I can't pinpoint any one of them anymore because it's been such a long time that I really like growing roses anymore. So, but you check out your favorite nursery. You maybe they have a list of roses that they already put in their order, so they know what's coming in. So you can ask them if that's available to you and look at their list of roses and do a little research and or even call me back and ask me, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
That's a great idea because I'm a newbie to the roses, so I've got a lot to be learning.
Yeah, and plus we forgot the most important part. What colors do you want? You know, I could be rattling out all these names and you're like, I don't like that color. So, you know, what colors would you like? And on next week, I will have some names too. I'm going to walk around my garden and because I can't remember. A really pretty orange one that I have, I know, a David Austin, I think it's Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A. I mean, that has a nice, soft fragrance to it. It's wonderful, and I keep sticking my nose in that rose.
But you've mentioned First Kiss a number of times, Gwen,
over the years. First Kiss, yeah.
And that's that pale, blushing pink type rose.
It has a slight fragrance to it, but it's absolutely gorgeous. So you can even look online at some of these names, but I would go to the nurseries that you shop at, ask them for their availability list. I'm sure they're going to have it. And you could look at all the, you know, they'll have them in categories and look at all the names of the hybrid teas. Maybe they list them in fragrance and, you know, or color or whatnot. And then you make little marks on all the ones that you think you'd like to get. Then you can call next week and I can give you some more information. And then I'll tell you the ones that I have that I've kept in my garden because they are doing well. All the 350 others that I cut out.
Gwen has cut out and torn out more roses than most of us have ever planted in a lifetime. Wouldn't you say, Gwen?
Yeah, well, because I worked at Callaway's Nursery many years ago, and I was the plant buyer there, and I have this East Coast influence. And Krista, the owner of Cottage Callaway's at that time, she's from England. She has an amazing knowledge of roses, and she picked all of these varieties that nobody ever heard of. And they're amazing, but they're hard to find now. But so I've had to buy all of these roses, and I had to keep buying it because I had to have it. So
there's a starting point, Nita.
It's a very good starting point. I'll start doing my research. And
one more thing before Gwen lets you go.
And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to a rosarian, master gardener, rose judge Jim Lang, and he is the number one rose grower in Sonoma County, Napa County, probably in Northern California. I'm going to talk to him, and we're going to get his favorites as well. Because what Jim grows in his garden, I want to grow in my garden, and you'll want to grow in your garden. So I'm going to talk to Jim, and we'll talk roses.
I'll have a front seat next week.
Yes.
Okay, well, you certainly opened up a can of roses. Thank you, Nita.
I sure did.
Okay,
all right, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you next week.
Good talking with you. We'll be right back, and we'll chat with Yvonne and a question about monarch butterflies. You can reach us at 636-1350. Plenty of open space this morning for Garden Talk. At 11, we go to the SRJC for the Day of Remembrance. The Good Food Hour will not be heard today, but back next Saturday.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
It's a wild, wacky world of make-believe at the second annual Windsor Education Foundation's Harvest Festival and fundraiser today on the Windsor Town Green. Celebrate fall 1 till 5. This event is free. Meet local first responders, trick-or-treat businesses and schools, enjoy carnival games, a costume booth, haunted maze, food, and live music with special guests. guest.
This is Pete Stringfellow, and Polly's Garage is going to be playing, performing for you guys. And I'm going to get up. I'm going to play my song, Santa Rosa, at the Windsor Town Green. Sonoma
County, baby. There's lots of fun for the whole family. A benefit bar served by the Windsor Town Green Merchants Association will benefit the Windsor Education Foundation. And Redwood Credit Union will be on site collecting donations for their fire relief fund. It's all happening today, free, 1 till 5 on the Windsor Town Green. The second annual Windsor Education Foundation Harvest Festival and Fundraiser in partnership with the Town of Windsor. Visit WindsorWE.org and click the Harvest Festival events page for more details. That's WindsorWE.org.
Garrett Ace Hardware has proudly served Northern California for over 127 years. During that time, we've seen our community face many challenges. Hi, this is Peggy. The present fire situation is the worst our community has faced in over a century. We'd like to let you know that our hearts and support go out to all who are dealing with Northern California's ravaging firestorm. Garrett Ace Hardware in Windsor and Healdsburg are open and doing our best to continue to supply you with the necessary items that you may need. And if you can't find it, we'll order it for you. From face masks to generators, air purifiers, sleeping bags, and outdoor gear for camping, Garrett Ace Hardware is determined to keep our shelves stocked in order to support our community as best as we can during this challenging time. Serving our community has always been paramount. We are conveniently located in Windsor and Healdsburg. At Garrett Ace Hardware, we continue to strive to be more than just a hardware store.
The 2017-18 season is underway within Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center. Once again, this season offers a great variety of entertainment. This Saturday, October 28th, the Miro Quartet performs Dvorak and Brahms with Sonoma County Conductor Laureate Jeffrey Kahane on piano. The Green Music Center would like to provide the healing power of music by offering free concert tickets for the Miro Quartet performance to anyone impacted by the recent fires in any way. All are welcome. For tickets, call the box office or email tickets@sonoma.edu. Then, Friday, November 3rd, the MasterCard Performance Series presents the Marinsky Orchestra with Valery Girgev conducting and Dennis Matsuev on piano. An evening at Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center offers an experience you'll never forget. For tickets and more info, visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
Good morning, Yvonne. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning? Is this Yvonne? No, it's
No, this is Teresa.
Okay. Hi, Teresa. We'll get to Yvonne's question next. Hi, Teresa. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. I'm calling about dahlias. I've had dahlias in a raised bed for a couple years, and I've always just left them there, and I'm just wondering if I should be pulling those up and separating and drying them. I don't know anything about them.
Oh, we had Jim Lang, Master Gardener, longtime Master Gardener Jim Lang on to talk specifically about dahlias and roses and stuff, and he is the expert, and I'm going to see if I remember half of what he said and knows. Yeah, if you have a clay kind of soil that stays, you know, wet and soggy and just holds, you know, sits in water all winter long, you definitely want to dig your dahlia bulbs up, tubers up, because they rot pretty easily. So,
okay.
But if you have them in planter boxes or in containers and you have good draining soil, I would cheat and I would leave them in there. And when all the foliage dies back, so whether you're going to dig them up or not, when all the foliage dies back to the ground, you can cut off that foliage, put a little stick or a flag or something in the ground so you remember that they're right there, okay?
Okay.
Or that they're in that pot so you don't think, okay, oh, I have an empty pot here. I'm going to dig in the soil and plant something, and then you start digging into your tubers. So it's like a little reminder. Or those little irrigation flags work well where you can write on the back of it, dahlias,
okay,
or you know, whatever. But so if you have, do you have them in the ground?
I have some in the ground, which is the clay soil, but then I have some of them in a little raised bed that's maybe about 6 inches above, 6-8 inches, you know, so they, yeah.
So the soil drains well in the planting box?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If you want, you can dig them all up, but you don't have to dig up the ones in the planter box because the soil drains really well. And if Jim's listening, he's probably going to say, no, dig them all up and be on the safe side. And that way you can cut off. So, okay, you're going to dig up the ones that are in the ground for sure.
Okay.
Because you've got a clay soil.
Okay.
Wait until all the foliage dies down first before you do that. Then carefully, with a fork, spade, or something, carefully dig up all around the clump and lift it up so you know you're not going to cut into any of the tubers, which could be one of the best ones that are in there. So you're going to carefully dig the whole thing up. You can wash all the soil, knock all the soil off of it, and then get a big bucket of water or just the hose and wash off the tubers so you can get off as much soil as possible.
Okay.
Okay? Then you can look at the clump that you have, and if you see any that are really tiny or mushy or anything, cut all those off.
Okay.
Then you can get like a shallow box and put some shavings in there. Shavings are easier to work with than sawdust. It doesn't blow around and you don't breathe it in as much with the shavings as you do the sawdust. But do be careful because shavings can be dusty and, you know, it gets up your nose and stuff. Or, you know, any kind of, if you want to just line the box with newspapers, you can do that too, or shred them up a little bit. Set them out there. You can keep them outside in the shade. Let them slowly dry out a bit, and you can move them around so they're not sitting in one spot for too long. You can flip it over, and so the whole plant, you know, root ball there kind of dries out a bit. And then set it someplace in the garage or a shed or someplace out of the rain, out of the elements, and let it just sit and overwinter, and check it, make sure there's no mold developing on it, or you could brush it off, or maybe there's not enough air circulation in there. Move it to another place. But you want to just let them dry out a little bit. And then come springtime, you know, squeeze the tubers. If there's a lot of them, then you can do some dividing. But if there's just like two or three tubers on them, I would leave them intact. Okay? So if you see that there's a lot of tubers, you can call us next time and then we'll talk about dividing. But if not, just leave it alone. And then in the springtime, you'll see where the stem is, right? Where you cut back the stem. You know that stem, you're going to be planting it face up.
Right.
Okay. And then you'll spread the tubers out sideways.
All right.
And replant them, and then there you go. But keeping them cool and dry during the wintertime is going to be your best bet for having them stay alive for next year.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks for your call. Good hearing from you. And now let's grab Yvonne's call. Welcome to Garden Talk, live at KSRO Radio in Santa Rosa, California. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning. I have a question about milkweed and butterfly, the monarchs. The plants, I planted them from the Master Gardeners, one of their events. They were in sticks when I bought them, and then they wintered, and they've grown, and they had a bunch of aphids on them, but I didn't pay too much attention because there was nothing. Aphids weren't moving to the other things in the garden, and now they've gone through that cycle where the seed pods have opened up, and they're all that silky, and the seed, little black seeds are in the silky part of it, and so what's the next step, or what do you do to trim them back when they need to be trimmed back? Is this too early? Are the good insects and butterflies still eating whatever's there?
Yeah, I would leave them alone just because those silky stuff that's coming out of the pods are kind of like kind of cool looking, and it adds a little bit of winter interest. But if we're going to get a lot of rain by next weekend, all of that stuff will probably just fall off, and then, you know, there goes its beauty. So then after the rain has stopped and that the plant is totally, you know, dried up and has gone dormant, then you can cut it to the ground, and there you go. Do you know what varieties these are? Were they the...
You know, I don't know. The lady told me they would have a little yellow blossom on them, which I never saw. There was really no little yellow blossom.
Okay.
So they went from being sticks and leaves to this the seed pod, and then the white silky with the little black seed in them. Yeah, they are pretty, except after the rain, they kind of get matted.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so then
I can tolerate ugly.
Okay. Because before it had that silky stuff in the pod, it should have flowered. Because after the flower, here comes the seed pod. So
it never really flowered.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because I was looking, because I planted other little yellow plants around it, thinking, oh, I'd have a nice display of yellow. But there was never any yellow blossoms.
Okay. These plants are in full sun?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a good thing. And you're watering them infrequently?
Yeah, a couple times a week probably as I water other things.
Okay. So, and they were
very
growing?
Good soil.
And,
yeah.
Okay. Well, no worries for this year.
Yeah.
You know, even those seeds might or might not germinate. So,
just
when
let
you
let them blow around.
Yeah.
And okay. The other thing is, was the infestation of aphids, was that something to be concerned about, or is that something the insects would come and eat?
Well, hopefully you'd have ladybugs and soldier beetles out there munching up all the little aphids. But if you see that if you didn't see that, and you know, next spring you see a lot of aphids that are on, you know, clustered together on your plants, you could just use your fingers and smush them all and get rid of them that way.
Okay.
But hopefully, if you haven't been using any pesticides in your yard, you should have a lot
have
of beneficial.
Not.
Yeah, so okay. Hopefully next year you'll have ladybugs and whatnot come out there and okay. Take care of the problems for you.
And when is the season that you would expect monarchs to land and to be feasting on this wonderful weed?
I think it's in the springtime. But don't quote me.
Okay, because they were still kind of sticks and very small leaves in the springtime.
Yeah, so maybe it's a little bit later, late spring, okay. Early summer. We had Julie okay. West here, who was the expert on the monarch migrations and this and that, and she's the butterfly expert.
Cool. Okay.
But I'm thinking
okay,
it's got to be earlier in the year. It can't be now.
Okay. It can't be now.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll just do a little reading and leave things as they are and see what works out for next year.
Yes, because we don't need to be in a hurry to prune back all of our plants and whatnot. And even if things we think look ugly, they provide some food source for somebody out there. And, you know, like you
yeah.
said, these little silvery or whitish silks that happen on those seed pods there gives a little bit of interest to that plant. And some
right.
little bird might come along and pull it out and use it as nesting material, and then it drops
and
the seeds for you.
Right. Happy to have that. So, but when it's time to prune them, when they get, you prune them all the way back to the ground.
Yeah. And then they'll okay. send up new shoots, and then there you go.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
You're welcome, Yvonne. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. We'll be back after this break, 636-1350, to reach us in Greenhouse Central. This is KSRO.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Sonoma County Farm Bureau invites property owners, farmers, and ranchers to a fire recovery and resource town hall with the Secretary of the California Department of Agriculture, Karen Ross. It's coming up Monday, October 30th in the Garrett Building at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds.
Doors open at 5 p.m. Program begins at 5:30 p.m. Information presented by Steve Dutton, President of the Sonoma County Farm Bureau. Secretary Ross will be joined by Tony Liniger, Sonoma County Ag Commissioner, and representatives from other local, state, and national agencies.
Come learn about disaster programs and ask questions like, what about runoff, the effects of fire retardant on pasture land, whether fences are covered, or the long-term effects of the fire on future crops. There are over 12 different resource organizations attending, and they're ready to help.
That's Monday, October 30th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Doors open at 5, supported by American Ag Credit.
More info and updates on the Sonoma County Farm Bureau's Facebook page.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Filyun. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
The Mendocino family of companies are hiring for immediate job placement in Ukiah and Scotia. $5,000 relocation bonus may be offered to qualified candidates. Meet with company representatives Thursday, November 2nd, 10 to 2 p.m. at Humboldt Redwood Company headquarters, 125 Main Street in Scotia. Visit online getredwood.com/careers or call Human Resources Recruiting 707-485-6731 to learn more and complete an application.
Through this hard time, everyone at People Ready is here to help. Whether you need staff or need a job, you can count on People Ready. Contact People Ready at 707-541-1819 and start working as soon as tomorrow. People Ready offers a wide range of work opportunities from general labor positions to the skilled trades. Visit online at peopleready.com or call 707-541-1819. Again, that's 707-541-1819.
At K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Automotive, Kate and her team know something. When your car's in the shop, your life's on hold. So their job is to get you going again. From quick, reliable service, repairs, and maintenance, to a loaner car if you need it. And a cup of coffee and a smile when you come in doesn't hurt either. Don't let your car put your life on hold. Visit Kate and the team at K-Tech Automotive and Pauline's Automotive in Sebastopol. And get going again.
It's been operating in secret, but now multiple outlets are reporting the team around Special Counsel Robert Mueller has brought its first charges before a grand jury.
We know that attorneys from Mueller's office were at the federal courthouse here in D.C. on Friday, including one of his senior prosecutors who specializes in fraud cases. We've learned that there was a filing in the court on Friday, but we have no further reportable details. CNN's not reporting who might have been charged or what the charges could be. So this is a very unusual situation, and it's unclear how significant this potential action might be.
As ABC's Pierre Thomas, no comment from the White House as the president spends the weekend at his Virginia golf club. A heavy police presence in Shelbyville, Tennessee. It's a White Lives Matter rally with lots of protesters telling demonstrators to go home. Spain is on edge right now, with the government saying it will arrest the officials who have declared independence for the Catalonia region, and the U.S. service member has died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. Brad Milkey, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cooler temperatures just around the corner. Today topping out at 82 degrees, 64 on the coast. Sunny skies above us. Clear skies tonight, low 47, 50 on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 78, 63 in Bodega Bay. Monday mostly sunny at 71, 64 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 at 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. We've got about 15, 20 minutes left in the show today.
Can I tell everyone, Steve, how disappointed I am in your little pumpkin necklace that is not lit up this year? You've got all these little pumpkins all around this necklace. It's so cute.
It's the cutest necklace in the world. And I wore it because I carved pumpkins yesterday with a couple of my little adopted grandchildren. And so we spent the afternoon, and I was so excited to wear my light-up pumpkin necklace. And then when I went to light it up, you know, these things are made not to last for a long time.
Yeah, I guess 1 year is enough.
Yeah, that was right. It did light up last year.
You can't replace the battery?
Well, I guess I could, but I don't know about you, but changing these little tiny batteries finding the right one. I may when in my spare time.
Well, for that $2 necklace, you can take it to a jewelry store and buy a $10 battery, and then they'll charge you $15 to install it, and then there you go.
How well you know how things work, Gwen. 636-1350 if you want to reach us now on Garden Talk. We are not going to have a good food hour today because we're going out to the Day of Remembrance at the SRJC shortly after 11 o'clock. We're rebroadcasting this wonderful event that is honoring all our first responders, our volunteers, and honoring those that have lost not only property but their lives. The broadcast is expected to last about 60 to 90 minutes and will start at approximately 11 o'clock. So no good food hour today, but we will be back, John Ash and I, next Saturday. Again, we got 20 minutes to take calls. So 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. We had a caller earlier today that didn't call back, and she was very concerned about how to fight white flies.
Those are bad.
They're bad. Yeah. We've been dealing with white flies for as long as humanity's been around. I eventually succumbed and tore out my collards and my kale.
I remember you did that, yeah.
Just could not. I tried everything possible, every type of organic spray and water and horticultural oil and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they became the host plants.
Okay.
And I thought it's just not worth it because luckily collards and kale are pretty easy to grow and we'll start a new crop this fall and winter.
So once you pull those out,
No
more white flies. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about white flies is that there's usually a host plant in your yard where they all started from, and they multiply, and as the population grows, some of them blow off onto other plants, or they fly onto other plants, usually nearby plants, whatever's the closest to that host plant. So if Ellen, I think it was the one who called about it, she wants to just look underneath the leaves of a lot of her plants or even hit a plant and you'll see a lot of the little white flies fluttering around, then look underneath the leaves and you'll see a lot of little white bumps, which are the eggs. You'll see these little white things. You might need a magnifying glass too if you don't have the best eyesight, and then you can see these little white things and you'll know that those are the white flies. Put a big plastic garbage bag,
that's what we did,
over the whole plant. Grab it and squish it at the bottom. And that way, when you pull that plant out, if you could pull it out or use a shovel and dig it out, all or most of those white flies will be in that bag with that plant, and then off to the garbage you go.
Yeah, we did it at night. I went out at night.
Oh, even better. Yeah.
Which was better. It was cooler, and there was not nearly the activity as the daytime.
Because when it's cool out, a lot of these flying insects don't fly very well. That's when I used to go and collect all the cucumber beetles early in the morning because they couldn't fly very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point to bring up.
Okay. Why don't we take we should take a break or should we talk more about, white flies. What do you think, Gwen?
Let's talk about white flies now that I'm on a roll.
You're on a white fly roll?
And then you know what there's been a lot of research over the past few years about worm castings.
And that big, we've talked about this for years. This was a landmark Ohio State University study that was probably 15 years old when it first started coming to the attention of us here at Garden Talk. They did a scientific experiment, mm-hmm, seeing if worm castings would work. And this was a long controlled study. And they found that actually worm castings work very well for controlling white flies. And what they decided as far as the proper dosage was recommending a 10 to 20% mix. The rule given by Ohio State was to achieve control. A half-inch layer of worm castings worked into the soil will provide a 10% ratio, and a one-inch layer worked into the soil will provide a 20% ratio. The article went on to say that what you do is simply work it into the soil. And after 2 months, all white fly residue and cocoons were gone, while flies from neighboring plants, which had not been treated, would fly around, the white flies would tree around the treated leaves, but not land on those leaves. Other plants, including trees, that were tested to determine if the use of worm castings were effective to repel spider mites, aphids, bark beetles, psyllids, and other insects. Worm castings were put to the periphery of trees route near the drip line of the feeder, mm-hmm, zone. And with the worm castings in the feeder zone, effective repellency was seen in those plants and trees against a lot of those insects. Spider mites would leave a plant in about 2 weeks. Aphids left in about 6 weeks. Bark beetles left after several months. The time period for the insects to leave a plant appears dependent, of course, on the size, mm-hmm, of the plant, too. So That's data from a research facility, Ohio State University Horticultural Program.
But they didn't say, is it because it's just the smell of the castings that are repelling, or is it because the roots are taking up something that's in the worm castings? That's
they say that the because it's a systemic entrance into the chitinase, and the chitinase is the part of the insect that caused the chitin is part of their skeletal makeup,
right?
And it caused the chitin to break down. Ingesting the worm castings causes the chitin in the insects to break down.
So, I'm not following that. So, the insects, the white flies, it sounds like they need to ingest this?
No, or just come in contact with. I'm sorry,
just
I misspoke.
Contact
yes.
with that.
Causes the skeletal part called the chitinase, the chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N,
yeah,
to
yeah.
break down in the insects. And, of course, the smaller the insect, the more rapidly the chitin will break down.
Because I remember when we had Dave Ulner on from the Rare Fruit Growers a couple years back, he was talking about this spreading out worm castings under yeah. the apple trees,
uh-huh.
also maybe for codling moths.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Something in the back of my head is telling me that he brought that to our attention about these worm castings, and then we looked further and found, you know, Master Gardener information on it and whatnot. So I was under the impression that you could just dump it out there underneath your plant, and instead of having to work it into the soil, being that I always like to cheat and, you know,
well, they're
do
saying
the easy
working
things.
It into the soil,
work it into the half inch of the
half
soil,
inch,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's research.
Wow.
And if you want to try it, try it. Of course, spraying with water is one way of knocking them out too. Horticultural oil possibly will work too to smother them. So there are good organic controls for whitefly.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. 636-1350. If you'd like to reach us, we have plenty of time to take more calls. Or Steve at KSRO.com for Garden Talk on this Saturday morning.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
For over 40 years, Four Seasons has been a leader in the field of home remodeling. A Four Seasons addition sets itself apart from the crowd. Sleek, clean lines, and a combination of high-end raw materials, all working together to craft the perfect solution. Seamless integration with your home style means that you can add square footage and value without ever having to consider the expense of conventional construction. Sonoma County Sunrooms, or SoCo Sun, is your local authorized Four Seasons sunroom dealer with a showroom and design center right here in Santa Rosa.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms. We work with homeowners and property owners just like you to work through all the options for your outdoor living area. When you call us, we focus on your needs and what will fit you best. Whether you're looking to increase the value of your home or looking to expand your livable space, Sonoma County Sunrooms will save you time and money on a room addition. Visit us online to learn more and schedule your free design consultation.
Check out SoCoSun.com today. Design, installations, remodeling.
Time to tune up your heating and cooling system for just $49. Did you know that gas inside your heater burns at almost 2,000 degrees? And your air conditioner has high voltage electricity running through it? Hi, it's Paul Bigham with 1 Hour Heating and Air. With 26 years in business, I've noticed two ways of thinking. Those that think a system tune-up is simply changing a filter, and those who really don't know it's necessary and put it off. Well, at 1 Hour, changing a filter, adjusting gas pressure, and tightening electrical connections are just part of a tune-up. For the procrastinators out there, you end up replacing units twice as often while living with inefficient and sometimes unsafe systems. My tune-up will help keep you safe, utility bills low, and extend the life of your heating and cooling system, all to the tune of only $49. 1 Hour Heating and Air. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP. That's 844-5-TUNE-UP. Or log on to 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
Win big cash this month at Great Resort and Casino. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. On Thursdays, turn points into slot play and play in the Falls Fortune Slot Tournaments, up to $30,000 in prizes at each tournament. Don't miss the Cascade of Cash giveaway on October 29th. Plus, sign up for Great Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GreatonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
You know,
there's nothing like sinking into a luxurious hot spring spa, especially if it's in your very own backyard. Hot spring spas are the number one brand in the world, so you know there'll be a hot tub to fit your home and lifestyle perfectly. Vacation in a hot tub every day with your own hot spring spa from the Hot Tub Store. Five locations in Santa Rosa, Vacaville, West Sacramento, Rockland, and Folsom. And online at hottubstore.com. The Hot Tub Store. Every day made better.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. In about 10-15 minutes, we'll join the Sonoma County salute to our fallen victims and honoring our saviors, basically, that helped us through this fire, honoring those that have lost so much and if not everything, at a wonderful ceremony which features everybody in the community. Hope you'll be able to attend from 11 until 12:30. If you're unable to, we will be broadcasting that live on the radio station from 11 till 12:30 today. It is bare root season, basically, is it not?
Coming very soon.
And people should certainly start thinking, hopefully in the future, about what they will be replanting. And nurseries will start ordering pretty soon, won't they, for bare root season?
Well, I think they've ordered in the summertime, but they're going to be getting in their merchandise. The trees and grapes and berries, and you can get horseradish and what else? Asparagus. The grapes, berries, all those goodies. Some ornamental trees, too, that you could get during bare root. Some vines you can also get during bare root season. So right now would be a good time to get a little sketch pad out or get a notebook out and start writing down things that you need to do for winter. Look at your trees that you already have out there. Does anything need specific pruning? Dead branches that you have to make sure that you prune out. Where exactly do you want to plant your berries and or grapes or fruit trees and rhubarb too? That's another thing you could be planting during bare root. So, and get the ground prepared now. Couldn't hurt to get a few shovelfuls of organic matter and mix it up into the soil and maybe stick a little irrigation flag there, like I was saying earlier, and put on the back of that flag, you know, you want to plant your grapes here or, you know, and or sketch it out on your, you know, on a piece of paper. So because what I do is I think a lot and I have all these great ideas. And then when it comes down to saying, okay, what was I going to put here? Well, I had a great idea what I was going to do in this spot. And then I can't remember. So, you know, for I don't know how many years. I'm only 21, so 10 years ago, I've been writing, you know, my garden journal and just writing down everything that I want to do, ideas, and especially varieties of fruit trees that our listeners have been talking about over the years that I need to have in my garden. So I write those names down, and I'll find those at the nursery and plant them. So I think this is a good idea to write things down about what you want to do and what you should do. Prioritize things. And I think prioritizing, definitely get your ground prepared for your bare root plants.
And preparing the ground would be,
you know, adding your compost
like we normally do.
So, because, you know, we wait until rains come, you know, December, January, when we're buying all these plants, and then you're trying to work in mucky soil. Even put a layer of straw on top of it too, so it's a little bit easier to work with. Because with my soil, I've got that heavy clay loam soil, and you know, I have a certain window when I can plant those bare root trees.
And if you have a hilly area, you might
slopes, hillsides.
You might want to apply some burlap. I know Sonoma Mission Gardens every fall has lots of burlap where they get in from the Baldwin burlap.
Yeah.
Plants come in, and they just give away the burlap.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a huge hillside, but for small sloped areas that may be impacted by the rain, burlap is really great.
Yeah, that'll help hold your hillside, so prevent a lot of soil erosion. And you need to tack it down. I wouldn't just throw the burlap on top of the ground because sometimes it slides. Rocks sometimes are not very dependable.
Yeah,
they tend to roll down the hill too. So get those little big hairpins or a wooden stake or something and anchor that burlap into the ground.
Let's see, Ruby, we could do about 1 minute possibly with Ruby. You have a question about kiwi. Is that correct, Ruby?
Yes.
And what did you want to know about it?
Can you grow it in a pot?
If it's a big enough pot, like at least the size of a half wine barrel.
Oh, that big.
Yeah. It's a big plant.
I've never seen them grow because they sent them over from Australia. And my family planted them up in Lake County years ago.
Yeah, and you need a male and a female plant in order to get any fruit.
So that's it. Male and female plus a big pot. We're out of time for today. Call us next week if you want to continue the kiwi discussion. Thanks, Ruby.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
Everyone at North Bay Nissan wishes to convey their sympathy to everyone affected by the tragedy the fires have brought to the area. In response to the severe impact of these wildfires, Nissan North America is extending VPP employee pricing to individuals and businesses whose vehicles sustained damage or were totally lost due to the fires. Visit NorthBayNissan.com to see if you meet the qualifications, which include being in the designated geographic areas of Northern California according to FEMA, and validating the damage through insurance requirements. Nearly all new Nissan vehicles qualify. Visit NorthBayNissan.com to see how to qualify and what you need to proceed. Eligible customers are entitled to the Nissan Vehicle Purchase Plan discount, normally reserved solely for Nissan employees. Plus, get 6 months deferred payments. North Bay Nissan wants to help you get back on the road. VPP employee pricing can help. NorthBayNissan.com.
What if hiring could be easier? With more qualified candidates and faster results, what if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, their smart technology notifies the most qualified candidates to apply. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/build. That's ZipRecruiter.com/build.
I can't believe I lost everything. Who do I call first? Did I have enough insurance to cover everything that's gone? How do I start over? Get these questions and more answered during an informational meeting this Sunday, 10 a.m. at the Friedman Event Center on Mayette Avenue in Santa Rosa. These informational meetings are sponsored by a group of law firms, including Abbey, Weitzenberg, Warren, and Emery. All those impacted by the fires are invited to attend the informational meeting this Sunday, 10 a.m. at the Friedman Center in Santa Rosa.
Smiling was always tough for me, even at my happiest moments, because of my smile. I never knew about cosmetic dentistry, but now my smile is perfect. Thank you, Dr. Sean Wilson.
I know having a beautiful smile makes everyone feel great. Unfortunately, even if you were born with perfect teeth, they may not be so perfect now. Gaps, fillings, stains, chipped, and discolored teeth can all affect appearance, self-confidence, and quality of life. From tooth whitening to implants, my passion is creating your unique and amazing smile that can even make you look younger.
There's only one dentist that's been voted Sonoma County's best dentist 6 years in a row. There's a reason why. Get the smile you've always wanted. Tell your smartphone to call Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS, and schedule your appointment today.
Calling Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS.
Just enough time to say thank you, Gwen Kilcher.
Thank you, Steve Garner.
And we will be back next week for 2 full hours of Garden Talk. No good food hour today. That'll be back next week because we want to bring you the Sonoma County Day of Remembrance, which will be getting underway in just a few minutes from the Santa Rosa Junior College. It's 11 to 12:30. Doors open to 10 o'clock if you want to attend. It's the Santa Rosa Junior College, Bailey Field, 1501 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. To be quite a moving event. News coming up next, and then we'll join the observance from the Junior College. This is KSRO Santa Rosa. We'll talk again next week.